Hello everyone, welcome to the NRF1 podcast, recorded live from Norwich, Norfolk, UK, England, Europe, geographically at least. My name is Michael Bailey. We're here to preview round 18 of the 2016 Formula One World Championship. USA, baby! I don't know if that quite works, but yeah, USA, the USA Grand Prix in Austin, Texas. One of the favourites, I think, on the calendar, so it has rapidly become. We've got that to talk about, all the latest news, of course, in the Formula One world, and I, Michael, am joined today by Stephen Rust and Richard Baxter. Steve, it's been a while since we've had you in, but we have had some of your WhatsApp messages read out, where you were, I think, what was the word? Blind rage, I think it was.
Paralysed with rage as well, wasn't it?
Paralysed with rage. Are you still? I mean, you've made it here, so I guess you're not still paralysed with rage at Lewis Hamilton's unfortunate engine situations.
No, not really. I'm still annoyed, but I think it's what's done is done now. So I think we'll kind of just have to move on and just see what happens in the last four races.
Said like a true adult. Richard Baxter, I don't think I've ever seen you paralysed by rage or thought that you might be it. But are you looking forward to Austin?
I am, yeah, I am. I'm a little bit tired today. It's been a busy weekend, so I've been a bit tired all day. But
what have you been doing?
All sorts. Zoo. But
I go, what? The zoo? Which zoo?
Bannum Zoo.
And you were what, just taking in the animals?
Yeah, it's my friend's little boy who's turned three, so we went for his kind of celebrate his birthday and looked at some tigers and leopards and stuff, monkeys. So I'm a bit tired, but I'm talking about Formula One, so I'm energised.
Good man, that's the way. Isn't that lovely? Another Norfolk highlight, Bannum Zoo. And obviously when I say taking in the animals, I didn't mean literally. Yeah. I mean as in viewing them. Anyway, quickly, moving on, shall we? We are here as always on Acast, on Audio Boom, on Future Radio, to bring you the latest F1 news. So let's do that now, shall we, as the USA Grand Prix rapidly comes into view. First news is the big news. Nico Hülkenberg confirmed that he will race for Renault from next season on a two-year deal, although there's a possibility of it being extended for a third year as well. He's leaving Force India, who, you know, are probably the better team, and they've done well for Nico. Force India themselves said they were surprised. So, Steve, are you?
Yeah, I'm quite surprised, to be honest. I mean, I've often wondered what the future holds for Nico Hülkenberg. He had, you know, those years of promise, and it's just now all dropped off. I was surprised to see him sign for them. I mean, Renault, that is a works team that could be one for the future, another manufacturing team. I mean, they are going on a recruitment drive. Yeah, they could end up being, you know, as big a team as Mercedes or Ferrari in terms of the manufacturers, but it's only a two-year contract. I was just surprised. I don't know what the sort of thinking was there, or whether we just wanted a fresh break. But I do also wonder whether this is actually his last chance. But that's a whole other story, perhaps.
Well, I've just looked up. He's 29. This is not young Nico Hülkenberg. This is 29-year-old former Le Mans winner, of course, as we love to call him, for at least a year.
Yeah, it's a very strange move for him. I was surprised when I heard it. But I know Renault were talking about they wanted a driver to lead the team. I suppose at Force India, of course, we're seeing Perez this year has really outshone him. And Perez has been on the podium a few times the last couple of seasons as well. So we know how good he is. So maybe Hülkenberg didn't really fancy that challenge and wanted to be the guy leading the team forward, hoping that, you know, Renault, there's talks of them keeping hold of Magnussen. So I mean, Magnussen's a good driver. With Hülkenberg, he obviously feels confident enough he can be quicker than him. But I still don't know. I mean, for 2 years, are Renault suddenly going to go from being nearly at the back of the grid this year to fighting for wins next year? It's not likely.
It's going to, I mean, we'll come on to the 2017 regulations soon, because there's going to be a big change. It's going to be really interesting how it all pans out. But I mean, Renault aren't likely to be challenging next year, and I guess Nico does see it as a chance for him to establish himself at a team fully as number one driver. The question is, who will be racing alongside? You mentioned Kevin Magnussen, who probably is in pole position, which would mean Jolyon Palmer would be moved on. But there are other drivers who have been linked. Esteban Ocon is one who's been linked, but he's also been linked with replacing Hülkenberg at Force India alongside Sergio Perez. So, I mean, these are midfield teams, and I guess, well, it's different with Force India. I can see the attraction with Force India. Say, Daniel Kvyat, he'd probably love that drive. But for Renault, it's hard to see what the actual draw is to be racing alongside Nico next year, unless you're a newbie to the sport.
I think if you're looking towards the future, because that team is inevitably going to get much bigger, potentially more successful. I mean, money does talk in Formula One. I mean, you only got to look at what Mercedes spends. I mean, it shows what, where you can get if you can employ the right people.
I like that. Mercedes spends.
Well, and what they spend each year is probably somewhere towards 300 odd million, I should think.
Well, I did try and claim they broke even, didn't they, this year?
I think so. Well, because the accounts get released like from the year previous, doesn't it? I think they made a £25 million loss compared to £75 million loss the previous season.
I love that a £25 million loss is basically breaking even in Formula One, isn't it? That's pretty close.
They were claiming for this year. Oh, mind you, it's not the end of the year yet, is it? So they must have been sort of looking. But yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, where were we? Yeah, so Renault, do they have that draw? Do they have it? Well, you obviously think they've got money to spend and they can do something with that from next year onwards.
Well, they are a world championship winning team. I mean, they won two there with Alonso, was it?
Yeah.
I mean, it was quite a few years ago. I mean, that was the same team, you know. So I think with the right people in it and the right amount of money behind it, yeah, I don't see why not.
It's just what's left of Enstone, I suppose, that can deliver that kind of success in quite a short turnaround.
Yeah, I mean, that was 10 years ago now since they won the World Championships in 2005-2006. I suppose the one positive for them, if you look, the cars then had greater downforce, which is, of course, some of the rules for next season, but with the aero and things. So maybe they can get confidence from that if they can get, you know, if they have some of the same team. But then Flavio Briatore was in charge back in the course as well, so we all know about him.
Are we allowed to mention him on the pod? I don't know. Okay, so two very quick questions. Who would you like to see alongside Sergio Perez at Force India, do you think?
I'd like to see Palmer, because I think that would be an actual decent car for him to get behind. And if you look at his recent results, he's actually done better than Magnussen. And he's, you know, picked up as the season's gone on, which I think, to be honest, deserves a drive for a second season.
You were nodding at that, Steve.
We all want to see another British driver get a seat, don't we? Yeah. It's got to be, isn't it?
Honorary Norfolkian, of course. Okay, and who should be alongside Hülkenberg at Renault?
I could keep Palmer. Unless that's already been... I don't know who's replaced. They haven't really said, unless I've missed...
Could be Magnussen. Yeah, I think he seems to be favourite, but there are new drivers, and I guess it depends if they want some money.
I don't know, really. I mean, if it's not going to be Palmer, I mean, it sort of depends on who else is available.
Pasta.
Say again, Rich.
Pasta. Maldonado, get him back in.
No. And your reaction again, Steve, was...
Oh no.
Oh no. Oh, we're going to leave it right there. Okay, well, we talked about 2017 a bit there. Toto Wolff actually came up with an interesting quote saying that it's, you know, the gaps have definitely closed come this season, especially on Mercedes. It's going to be back to square one for Formula One in 2017, effectively saying there's going to be dominance, and I guess he's hinting there's going to be Mercedes dominance. He wouldn't say that outright, but he feels that those gaps are going to be extended again, which of course would be a real shame. I don't think anyone will be voting for a major formula change now, unlike, you know, when they voted for it, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, whatever it was. Pat Simmons as well, technical director, I think his current title is, at Williams, said that the aerodynamic gains on this new formula for 2017, they are staggering. That's what Williams have seen. Now, admittedly, they've got a shit car this year, so maybe, but he feels the other teams will also be seeing staggering gains. I mean, are we excited by these changes? I mean, these teams are going to be full on in putting together their cars for next year now.
I am actually really excited to see what it's going to be like, because they're going to look the part more. Because right now, to be honest, they're Formula One cars, but they don't look too exciting. Partly because some of the rules, they've got funny sticky out bits all over the place, like on the very middle of the front ring.
Not as bad as they did, though, at least.
No, not as bad as they were. But it's you just want that bit of excitement, that bit of flair about it, I suppose, which can really make it more attractive as well to look at. And especially for sponsors, I suppose. But it's going to be what's really interesting. We know how much torque these engines produce. Now, if you've got more downforce, you can get, you know, more grip and everything. You're going to go faster, greater acceleration. So there could be some crazy lap records going.
We know you love lap records. We know that, Rich. Are you excited by this, Steve?
No, not really. I mean, I'm interested to see how it all unfolds, but I'm not excited because it's not a new formula. We've been here before. This is largely drawn out of the history books again. And the cars are going to be lower, they're going to be wider. And we ditched wide cars to help overtaking. So I don't see why we've had to go on back. And they're supposed to be 4 to 5 seconds a lap quicker. They might be quicker than that, I don't know. But the only people who are going to notice that are the drivers. You know, you're not going to notice that really on television until you see the lap time come in. I just think it's not going to be good for overtaking. So I'm not really massively excited, but I'm interested to just see how it all unfolds.
I think that that first part of the year is always fascinating, especially when you're forming, to see what the cars will look like and to take it all in and see what they're doing and how they're put together. But yeah, I fear you might have quite a depressing point there, Steve. Got to mention, Jordan King, British driver, he is going to be driving in FP1 for Manor in place of Pascal Wellein in the US. Jordan King's done pretty well through the junior formula, and big chance for him at Manor. And the interesting with Pascal, I don't know if they've given his seat up because they know he'll be all right, or whether there is a bit of pressure on who's going to be driving those seats next year, and Steve's giving it the money sign.
Yeah, I mean, it's always good to see another British driver. If he does well, if he impresses, then you never know, he might be able to snap up a drive, because obviously there's still a couple available. But to be honest, with the Mercedes engine in the Manor with Wellein there, I think that would most likely just be the fact that, you know, they can say, oh, we'll stick someone else in for it, give him a go, but we'll keep you anyway for next season if we can have the engines.
Yeah, quite. Well, that's it. There does seem to be a security about, dare I say this, touchwood, the grid at the moment. No one seems to, now that Sauber have sorted out their, at least momentarily, critical financial problems, everyone seems to be in a position where they will be racing next year, including Manor, who have been quite anonymous this season.
I guess so. I mean, it always starts a ball rolling, doesn't it? You know, when you get a driver move on or retire or whatever, or a sort of situation like they had at Sauber where they didn't know whether they'd be racing anymore. But yeah, it does sort of seem to more or less settle down. But it's always good to see another British driver come in, because it makes me wonder, really, like, you know, once, I mean, Jenson Button's now retired. Once Lewis Hamilton, I mean, might only be another 4 or 5 years. And I mean, after that, I mean, it does make you wonder. I mean, we haven't had another British driver come in and consistently stay. They've been here for either a season or two at most and gone. Yeah, it makes you wonder who's going to really sort of eventually step into where they could get themselves into a faster car and maybe go on and win championships.
It's hard to imagine a Formula One season without a British driver in it. But you do wonder, and if it is relying on money and sponsors, and with some of the things that are going on in this country at the moment, you do wonder if maybe, you know, people would say can't imagine a season without this race or without an Italian driver. You never know. God, this is a happy old podcast, isn't it? Talking about Lewis Hamilton being missed, he didn't take part in the Pirelli test. I think it was a Pirelli test, wasn't it? Over the recent 2 week break, or just after the race in Japan, because he had a sore foot. Now, is that because he'd kicked the cat, Steve, or could he just not be bothered?
Whose cat?
Nico's cat? No. I don't think he has a cat. Maybe kick the dog. No, I don't think he kicked Rusko. Let's just say
he went round to Nico's house and just kicked the cat and then left.
But it depends.
Is that what you're suggesting?
I'm not suggesting anything. In fact, you just suggested that. I said he kicked a cat. Maybe it wasn't a cat. Maybe it was a door. But, you know, anything like this? No? What do you think?
I don't know. I mean, he has always... I remember once he was questioned about why he doesn't participate in testing other than, like, testing at the start of the season, you know, during race, and he always says, well, I don't get anything out of it, you know, so he always gives up his place to a reserve driver. So I think it's just another one of those, but I don't know whether they felt that there needed to be a reason this time and
just to bail him out. He was limping around, apparently, but there we go.
He fell off his hoverboard or something.
Maybe. Was Roscoe on the hoverboard? Was there a cat on the hoverboard? Who knows? And one thing I did want to just touch on, because it came up over the last week. Damon Hill opening up over his 30 years since he won the world title. Rich, I know he's a particular hero of yours. What did you make of all the things he had to say?
That was brilliant. I saw you tagged me in the things on Twitter and Facebook, and I read it, and it was brilliant, actually. I really enjoyed it. And it's always really interesting how his career started, because he wanted to go on motorbikes. I remember seeing it on a documentary. His mum was nervous about him racing motorbikes, so basically had a word with someone at Williams and said, would you just give him a test, give him a run in the car? So they did, and then he loved the car and he kind of came into the sport in the end. So it's kind of quite interesting how it happened, but I've got to dig it out somewhere at home. I've got the the documentary which follows his 1996 World Championship season, and it's kind of behind the scenes, and there's like Patrick Head and Frank Williams and everything in it, which is kind of weird when you still see them now and they kind of look exactly the same.
It's only 30 years on. Oh, that's brilliant. Oh yeah, definitely, you'll have to give us some thoughts on that once you watch it back, Rich. Brilliant stuff. Damon Hill, a hero. Let's say it properly as it is. You can catch all a link to that, all manner of things, including the Mario Karting on the streets of Paris, which we dug out today. It's brilliant. All that stuff is on our Twitter and Facebook feeds, and all you need to do is go on Twitter and Facebook and look for the handle TheNRF1. That's all you need. At TheNRF1 on Facebook and Twitter, and you can follow all the things we posted there, as well as of course the links to the podcast, which are also available at nrf1.uk/audioboomf1. And we'll have more videos to come and blogs and whatnot over the remainder of the season, along with of course many more fun things. I should also plug the fact that if you want to subscribe to the podcast, then head over to nrf1.uk/ is on iTunes, and as always, we would love to have you as one of our patrons to help us grow this podcast, because it's going to be a big few years coming up in the sport, and we want to be right there following it, especially as Formula One is going to have this social media revolution. So here, just have a look, patreon.com/nrf1, patreon.com/nrf1. You're listening to the NRF1 podcast. We've got a race coming up, boys. That's right, it is the United States of America Grand Prix from Austin, Texas. I have no idea if Donald Trump will be there, but we're not going to have that debate now. Lewis Hamilton's won 3 of the 4 Grand Prix since Austin came onto the calendar, Steve. He likes this place. Bloody hell, he needs to, doesn't he, this time around?
Yep. And even if he does, it might not necessarily help that much.
Yeah, you were doing some number crunching, weren't you? It's a 33-point gap between Nico, who's of course leading the Drivers' Championship, in case you didn't catch that, and Lewis. And 4 races to go. So what does that mean for where we are?
It means that if Hamilton wins all 4, Nico can afford to be second in 3 of those, and third, or maybe even fourth, I think, in one of the others as well. But obviously, if Nico has a DNF and Lewis goes on to win the race, then that'll bring it down to sort of 8 points if you're talking this weekend or following weekend. But yeah, I mean, that's sort of the size of the problem at the moment. It's not a 33 points. I mean, it was, what was it, 42 or 3 at the start of the season? But yeah, we've got 4 races left.
It's different, isn't it? Yeah, that puts a completely different slant on it. And we've got Toto, as we were discussing last week with the Japan Review podcast. You can catch it over at Audio Boom. Niki Lauda feels that the season, bar mechanical issues, is pretty much Nico Rosberg's in the bag. So, and you know, you listen to Steve in the point situation, it does feel like it a bit. It needs Lewis to win this race and Nico's engine to blow up, really, doesn't it?
Basically, yeah, that's what it's going to come down to. You know, Hamilton needs to win, and there needs to be a retirement for Rosberg along the line. I don't like it when the team come out and say, or remember the team come out and say, oh yeah, it's done, because you think you've got 2 drivers there. You want to keep them both encouraged, you know, try and keep it even, which we love. You know, we know Mercedes love to do that. So it's, I find it a bit funny they can say it's over this early, when you kind of say you want to give people at home some hope, but at the same time, it's understandable.
However, let's remind ourselves that Lewis Hamilton has won the British Grand Prix this year, and every year he's won it, he's won a championship, so it might not be over yet.
And to be honest, we could be in line for one of the great ends to a season. We just don't know. It will be fascinating. I mean, it is Niki Lauda who's saying that it's all but over, and I guess Niki Lauda sort of is a man on plays by his own rules, doesn't he, rather than Mercedes rules necessarily. And normally we ask, who's it the most important weekend for? Well, clearly Lewis, Nico, job done. So is there, and the Constructors' Championship is over too. So is there something else that is pricking our interest as we go into the last 4 races, never mind just Austin?
Yeah, I mean, the Constructors' Championship, even though it's over, there's still teams fighting for position, like Force India and Williams are very close. I don't know the exact point difference between them. But if Force India could finish above them, that'd be great for them, because of course it means extra funds. And then of course you've got Sauber, who are yet to score a point this year, and Manor have scored a point. So of course Manor would really get a bigger budget than Sauber, unless Sauber can by some miracle turn it around. So that, even though the championship is over in that sense, for smaller teams there's still kind of a lot to play for.
And Red Bull and Ferrari, they're quite close. Yeah, they're fighting for sort of that final sort of few places between them. And not forget Jenson Button's last four races. Enjoy it whilst it lasts.
Well, until he comes back in 2018, Steve.
It's gonna happen.
Just in case you didn't catch that, he said it's not going to happen.
No, I don't think it will, no. I could be wrong. Let's hope I am wrong. But I think it just doesn't seem very likely.
I'll do some quick maths here, shall I? There's 50 points between Red Bull, who are second, and Ferrari are third in the Constructors' Championship. There's only 10 points between Force India, who are fourth, and Williams, who are fifth. And right at the bottom, Sauber, still without a single point. But we have Manor, who are then placed above them in 10th with 1 point. Renault still only on 8. So I guess they're the crux of the main Constructors' Championship issues to go. Interesting that Max Verstappen and Sebastian Vettel are tied on 165 points apiece. So that could be quite an interesting little duel, given, you know, they like calling each other idiots as well. And Kimi Raikkonen's only 5 points further up the road. Also, Valtteri Bottas and Sergio Perez, there's only a point between those two in 7th, Bottas and 8th. And there's only a point also between Felipe Massa in his last Formula One season and Fernando Alonso, which, again, that would mean Fernando finishing in the top 10, if he could see that out. Daniel Kvyat, he's a long way down, really, but he's still ahead of Jenson Button, who is 15th in the championship, only just above Kevin Magnussen. Three drivers on 1 point, and a host of 24 drivers, by the way, Rich, as per your prediction, so you won't want anyone else coming in. But there's going to be, they'll trust me, in the paddock there'll be a lot of people going, I have a lot to play and race for here, I better not f*** it up. USA Grand Prix, it's predictions time. Now, don't have a panic attack, but I have actually worked out all the predictions. I worked them out for Japan, Malaysia, Singapore, Italy, and Belgium. While at the same time, we've also got our season predictions we made at the start of the season to add to the tally at the end, and our halfway predictions as well that we made during the summer break. So there's still lots to play for and lots to factor in along all this lot. But I can confirm, if I just go through these now, Steve, you had a clean sweep at Belgium. Everything came in, while Kyle was pretty close to that too. And DT had a wonderful weekend of it. In fact, I had a good weekend of it in Belgium. Something obviously very predictable about what happened in Spa. That said, Italy was a lot more hard work. I had a complete blank at Monza, which was a shame. Again, Singapore was a difficult work, although Josh Raymond, on his last attempt at predictions, got a very good score. Malaysia was hard work. In fact, you got a blank in Malaysia, Steve. Sorry about that. And Japan, Kyle got a blank. And it's not very often the Oracle comes back with a blank. All in all, it means that the current standings after 17 rounds of the championship, four races to go. Steve, you're leading the way, but not by a lot from Kyle. I'm third, a little bit further back. Kieran Cousins, our main man on Twitter with his predictions, he's very regular and it's paying off. He's sitting fourth. Rich, you're up to fifth. Steady progress. You happy with that?
Delighted, considering I usually get one or two right out of like the five. So
it's all about the regularity, I think. Sam Todd's doing very well in sixth too. We've then got a few who haven't done it for a while. Tim S. seventh. Perry's in eighth, although hopefully we'll see him before the end of the season. Get those predictions in, Ped. Then Hey Reese, who made one valiant effort and did very well. If we heard more from him, I think he would challenge. Then Johnny P in 10th. Josh Raymond, 11th. And DT still picking up the rear, but by 0.4 of a point, or whatever it works, from DT. So that's very tight. Rich, by the way, you're leading the way on kudos points. You currently have well over twice as many as anyone else.
That's, you know, go big, you've got to enjoy yourself, so
that's like the moral victory, that is. Yeah. So it all leads perfectly into an updated situation. Four races to go. I've got Steve looking at his phone, I've got Rich who's looking at his phone with his predictions already on it. So in that case, Rich, would you like to go and predict what's going to happen in the USA Grand Prix?
I will. I've gone slightly American themed as well for some of them. So I'm going to say at least one Haas to finish in the top 10.
Oof.
Being the home Grand
Prix. Kyle will love that.
And they put a hashtag, they put Austin with an H at the beginning, basically. So it's Haas-tin.
Oh, dear. Yeah. Oh, that's a terrible idea. That's like one of those ideas where the marketing people have gone, let's do this, it'll be great, and it's just not.
And you can get away with saying that because Kyle isn't here, so.
Yeah. I can, you're right.
My next one, you kind of mentioned earlier, I'm going to predict that Trump will attend the race, like Putin style.
Oh, God. Well, he's not president or anything. He's not going to rock up in the green room.
He might be doing the podium. He might be doing the questions on the podium.
Let's just hope there are no, you know, grid girls or anything around. Because, yeah, anyway, moving on.
Imagine him sat next to Bernie. Wow.
No. I'm sure they have on many an occasion. I'm sure they have.
And we're probably now going to get shut down. But my third prediction, not American themed, but I'm going to say Toro Rosso, double DNF. The next one, I'm going to say the last classified car won't be a Manor.
Okay, yeah, I like that.
They've been classified last for most of the races, so give them some support. And my last one, I thought this was quite a good one, but I'm going to say,
look at your face, you're so chuffed for this.
I'm going to say Lewis Hamilton on his cap is going to have the stars and stripes on there.
Somewhere.
Yeah, like somewhere on his cap that he wears, because he always, like, he's got the Union flag on one of his caps, and he always has different designs.
So at some point over the weekend,
when he's doing the, like, interviews for the TV, on his hat is going to have the stars and stripes.
You might have to keep an eye out for that one if you can.
I'll try my best.
As will I. Okay, good work. Happy?
Well, if they come in, yeah.
As always. Steve, you're looking very complaintive. The leader of the Prediction League. Go on, live up to the hype.
There's me sitting here just realised that I haven't given any of this what thought whatsoever.
As if it matters, Steve.
Trying to drastically think of some whilst Rich was speaking. But I'm going to start off with the weather. I think we're going to get rain in the race again, like we did last year, because it was a thrilling race last year. Mm-hmm. It was actually. So I'm going to go with rain in the race at some point. I'm going to say Jenson Button to actually finish the race. So no DNF or any crash outs or anything like that.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Hamilton's going to win the race. I think it's just a circuit that just suits him, so I think that's just going to happen. I think Ricciardo's going to be on the podium again. I think he's going to have another strong showing. And I think we'll get one Ferrari DNF. And I'll leave it at that.
Nicely done, nicely done. Well, welcome to my world of making them up as you go along. I think that we will see Nico Hülkenberg finish behind Sergio Perez just to celebrate his departure. In fact, I think he might have a tough weekend of it, Nico. Let's say that a Renault will finish ahead of him somehow or other in the classified, whether that means Nico ends up out of the race or whatever, I don't know. But one way or another, a Renault will end up ahead of him. Let's say that Jordan King will be within 3/10 of a second of Esteban Ocon in FP1. You like that one?
I like that one. That's a good one.
I don't know if he's actually got that in him, but we will see. I want to say that Lewis will win the race, but I can't work out if this is going to be finally the race where the two Mercedes actually have a battle, because we just have not had one. It's remarkable. We just have not had a battle between the two of them, probably since Spain,
I suppose. Austria.
Sorry, Austria.
But then they
kept running into each other, so maybe that's why.
Yeah,
but
that's it.
So Lewis is going to win the race. I think Nico is going to finish third, or he's not going to finish second. That will be my prediction. Nico will not finish second somehow or other. I think Sebastian Vettel will finish in the top four. I think he quite likes it around here. In fact, he's the only other person to win in Austin, but off the top of my head. And I think that Fernando Alonso will pick up a point and Jenson Button won't. And I think I might leave it there. And we are done. Happy, everyone? Everyone's smiling, looking good. Yep.
I've just realised as well, of course, it's a year anniversary of Rosberg throwing his hat at Hamilton.
And if they get a Stetson this year, I mean, that could really fly.
Like Odd Job or something from the Bond films.
Okay. Well, let's say no hat throwing. I wonder who'll do the podium questions. Well, it was Arnie's done it before, hasn't he? Will Arnie be back? Bonus predictions. Will Arnie Schwarzenegger be on the podium or at the race?
He will be back. That was a really bad impression.
Terrible, but we love your really bad impressions.
It'll be at the race, but I don't think it'll do the podium.
Okay.
It's going to be Donald Trump, isn't it? It's got to be.
I think we'll see Arnie at the race. I'm not going to comment about the podium.
Maybe they'll have Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump like both doing interviews on the podium, and they'll have like a debate as they go. And
stick him in a car. Stick him in two Haas cars. They forget your silly hashtags. Stick Donald Trump in one Haas. Stick Hillary Clinton in the other. Let them go. The one who drives fastest wins and is the new president of the United States of America.
Well, I can get out of the garage without stalling.
Well, I guess there's still an element that could be rigged, isn't there, Donald? Right. Okay. So
I really shouldn't be thinking because it's really bad. But I was going to say if Donald Trump.
Oh, Rich.
You've got to edit that out, though, because I shouldn't say that.
No.
That's harsh.
Yes. Will I edit it out? Yes, I probably will. I might just beep it.
We'll lose half our American listeners.
Right. Let's round this off, shall we? Thank you, everyone. Thanks, Steve. Thanks, Rich. Thank you for your predictions. And if you want to join the crew, get your predictions in and make a late bid for championship success, which you probably could still do, all you need to do is tweet us your predictions before the start of FP1, tweet us at the NRF1. Get them in. You can predict whatever you want. That's the joy of it. Predict anything. If you reckon Esteban Ocon's going to finish 11th, you just tweet it and we will put you in the running. Trust us, we make it look hard. It's dead easy otherwise. And as you know, you can get in touch with us. The things I haven't said, don't forget, you can email us, nrf1podcast@gmail.com. We love getting your emails and reading them out. And keep an eye on the website, nrf1.uk, for blogs and more. And the Facebook and Twitter feeds. But until the other side of America, it is back to back, isn't it, coming up? It's Mexico. This is it. This is the start of a defining 8 days. Well, the end of the weekend. The end of this week will be the start of a defining 8, 9, 10 days in this season's Formula One Championship. My, oh, my.
It'll be over in that time.
You know what? I was just thinking that myself. Let's hope not. But there'll be plenty to talk about anyway. We know how Formula One works. Thanks, gents. As I said, thanks everyone for listening. We always appreciate your support. We'll see you on the other side of Austin. Good night.